He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is July the 24th. It's the July the 24th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, who will have a very busy week this week. I'll have a busy week this week. A deluge of earnings are on the way. And, of course, the Fed decision on Wednesday. The markets have opened up mixed. The lower PE, Dow 30, is up 106 points after breaking out last week. It's at 35,333. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, the higher PE index, is down 20 right now to 14,010, with a lot of really important earnings, big earnings reports coming this week. Microsoft, for one. The S&P is up 9. It is up 0.2% right now. The Russell 2000 small caps, which probably have the lowest PE of all of the of the major indexes, it's at 1968. Crude oil is up 68 cents. It continues its climb higher. Crude oil all the way up to $77.75. And last but not least, well, we've got gold down $3. We have the 10-year up or down one basis point to 3.82. And Bitcoin down 758. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a fee-based only nationwide money management firm. And as I said, the markets have opened mixed to begin a new monster week in the market. You know, some weeks are really quiet in the market, Barry. You could almost doze off on some days. But this week we're going to get 166 S&P 500 companies reporting earnings.
Yeah, this is like the – I was looking at some of the – we get – you know, we get 40% of the S&P 500 reporting this week. We got the some PMI global, and you know, basically every country's PMI numbers to go through today. Germany's were just terrible. We'll get to that later on. And then, of course, we got not just one Fed decision, three central bank decisions. We got the Fed on Wednesday. We got the ECB in Europe on Thursday, and then we got the Bank of Japan on Friday. So, busy week.
But take a couple weeks off and enjoy summer vacation.
Today is not the summer vacation week.
Oh, man, it's going to be, just really hot and heavy here this week. Well, okay, we closed off the week with our usual Friday fade. The NASDAQ was up about 90 at one point. It closed down 30. So just keep that in the back of your mind. You get up Friday, what am I going to do? What's on my to-do list? Oh, yeah, let's watch and see where the market opens. If it opens up, let's buy a little bit of SARC, which is double short, the most volatile index ETF out there. That's Kathy Wood's ETF, ARK Funds, 2x inverse. That thing has a pretty good day every Friday. I'd have to look back. You know what? We should do a little bit of analysis on that. Out of the last 12 Fridays, how many times has SARC been up? And just forget everything else. Just do the SARC Friday fade play, and we'll see how that works out. So anyways, we kind of finished sloppy, you know, on Friday because of this big week. The Dow, though, 9-day win streak, and it's up again today, which would put it at 10 days. Or was maybe Friday was the 10th day. Maybe we're looking at day number 11 today. And that was the title of last week's newsletter, The Dow Breaks Out, which was inevitable. It was just a matter of time after the NASDAQ broke out, S&P broke out, finally the Dow broke out to the upside. Valuation is a concern right now, and I've talked about that quite a lot in the newsletter on Friday. this earnings season is, well, it's off to a little bit of a slower start than we expected. When we began the earnings season, we were expecting a 7% drop from last year. And right now, after a couple of weeks of earnings in the books, we're now expecting a 9% drop. So it's going the wrong way. This week will be an important week. We'll see if that trend that we've seen in the first 2 weeks of earnings will continue this week, or if we can turn things around this week. So important week for the market, no question about it. Okay, now, first we have to, the biggest news, well, there's a couple big news items. Barbie, we can't forget Barbie. I read a review, or no, I actually listened to a review of the movie. Worst movie of all time. There's a lot of bad movies, but the worst movie of all time, Barbenheimer. It was good for the theaters, and it was kind of a low budget movie, I guess. So it was a good deal for Mattel and Warner Brothers. It grossed $155 million, but I was reading that, or analysis I was reading, the review or I listened to said I can't imagine anybody going back to see this movie. And the word's going to get out what a piece of garbage it is.
Yeah. Well, I get firsthand info. My 16-year-old, they were going to go to a different movie. They ended up having to go to the Barbie movie because the other one at that time, so we can get home and from before curfew wasn't, basically got stuck going to the Barbie movie. He was there with a few friends, so I'm not sure how much of the movie he actually saw, but he did attend it and didn't say it was terrible, but he didn't say it was good. So like I said, yeah. I'm not sure how much of the movie.
I don't think he watched or followed the storyline.
Yeah, he's probably looking at the phone or the person next to him. I don't know.
Now Oppenheimer brought in $80 million. So there's your big stories. Now the other big story.
It was the biggest by Star Wars. It was actually the biggest movie weekend since I think 2000.
Yeah, it is. The whole summer
since 2019, which tells you pre-COVID, I guess. So.
And they did a lot of pre-advertising. Now in Israel, they have passed the judicial reform this morning. They were protesting. I guess half of Israel was protesting all weekend long, and they've been protesting for week after week. And we'll see what kind of...
Netanyahu's in the hospital at the same time, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Netanyahu had to have a pacemaker made. So
right.
Things going on in Israel. We always watch that that hot spot in the world, that Middle East. Now, here's the most disturbing news for me, and it was just kind of cumulative as I read the different reports coming in from around the world. The first thing I read was that UK manufacturing PMI drops to 45. But here's the most disturbing part of that. That's the sharpest contraction since May of 2020.
Basically COVID.
Think back where we were in May of 2020. Right. That's when the economy dropped off the cliff. And UK drops to 45. You know, anything under 50 is contraction. But that's a sharp contraction, okay? That's labor pains there. That's not good at all. So you might say, well, okay, the UK has been struggling. They still have that inflation up around 6.9%, et cetera. But a second witness weighed in, a second piece of testimony here, the Euro area manufacturing PMI dropped to 42.7. 42.7 in July. That's even lower than the UK. That's the lowest in 3 years. Now, I know Europe, they do have quite a vacation period of time in the summer, 6 weeks, something like that. Vacation's very important. Now, I'm hoping that has something to do with it. But now you've got a third witness weighing in. Germany's manufacturing PMI drops to 38.8.
And that's like pandemic levels. That's low. And they're the driving engine of the Euro economy. And to me, you go back. I mean, it has to have a lot to do with China. I mean, there's no, thankfully, our our PMI came in, I think we think around 52, which is just above, you know, is still at least in the non-contraction phase. But yeah, I mean, that's a 38 number is, yeah, I mean, you haven't seen that.
You've got to go back to the COVID year of 2020. Now, okay, now let's just add in one more. Japan factory activity shrinks in July, constrained by weak demand. And, of course, Japan is a big manufacturer to the world, not as big as they used to be. Everything used to be made in Japan. Now it's all made in China. Or now you're even moving to Indonesia and Vietnam, et cetera. But that's very disturbing when you get four major economies, their PMI and their factory orders shrinking that much. So obviously, we take note of that and keep that one in the back of our mind as we watch individual stocks this week. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, a couple other big events over the weekend. The G20 met in Goa, India, to discuss the energy transition as extreme heat takes hold in many areas across the globe. The G20 Energy Transitions Working Group meeting was intended to set tone and strategy, and while there were some points of agreement, the summit ended without any consensus on phasing out fossil fuels. Investors in energy and renewables are especially taking a note ahead of the gathering. They'll gather again in September, and the big one is the COP28 in December. So the problem is most of these countries, now you're really expanding. This isn't the G7. This is 20 countries. They don't have a plan. I mean, they can't just turn off the switch on fossil fuels because they badly need it for their economies. And, of course, many nations are attempting to shore up their domestic fuel stockpiles as Russia's war in Ukraine and geopolitical tensions elsewhere threaten to weaponize energy supplies, which is happening. We also have U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm reiterated calls for additional supplies as it gets dangerous when the prices are so high. We're up to $77 in oil. And just looking at a chart of natural gas over the weekend, it looks like it's put in a pretty solid bottom there and could start moving up again. She also called for the ban of gas water heaters over the weekend. So not only, or late last week, not only are they after the gas range that many restaurants and, of course, many homes cook over, now they're after the natural gas water heaters.
Well, and you've been mentioning for the last couple of weeks, I remember getting reports where gas water heaters are, flying off the shelf, remember? I mean, it's been over the last couple of weeks. We saw a couple of reports of large growth and big growth in gas water heaters. Like, what?
Okay, now, for me, what's the elephant in the room right now of the market? Well, this is now July 24th, okay? This is not January the 6th when we said all guns blazing, you'll fire and go into the market, especially the high-tech NASDAQ, growth stocks. Well, okay. Now, here we are over 6 months, 7 months later, and we have seen here's the statistics on those stocks. It's pretty amazing, really. The seven largest stocks in the S&P 500, which are Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Nvidia, Meta, and Tesla. They account for 28%. Those seven stocks are 28% of the S&P 500
as a whole.
And the S&P 500, which is up about 19% year to date, 12 of those points have come from these seven stocks. So you take those seven stocks out, and the S&P is up 7%. So where does that leave us? Well, the P.E. ratio of those seven stocks is currently at 32. Okay, if you just take those seven stocks. Now, if you take the other 493 stocks, the P.E. ratio is 17. So that's what I've been saying is, you know, for new money, which the new money was great for those large cap tech stocks beginning of January. And, you know, we've had a really good year here so far this year because we've been parked in the right area. But new money coming in, I've been saying you've got to look at the lower P.E. stocks. There are still some of the big tech stocks that still make sense from time to time when they pull back, but others are just utterly way beyond, you know, a reasonable valuation at this point in time. So when you look at the overall, the P.E., the forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 closed at 19.5 on Friday. And it started the year at about, I think, 17.5, maybe 16.5. I'll look that up, somewhere in that area, which was reasonable. Because the long-term average is about 18.5. So now we're at 19.5. But that counts those seven stocks, okay? You take those seven stocks out, and that lowers that P.E. ratio. Now, Goldman Sachs says they're not concerned about the stock valuations. But I would say this, it depends on which stock you're looking at. I can't just make a blanket call and say I'm not concerned about stock valuations. I think some of them are way too high.
Yeah, right.
Apple would be the perfect example. I mean, my five-year forecast for Apple shows about 35% upside potential. That's how I kind of measure valuation, is what kind of upside potential does it have over the next 3 to 5 years. So at this point in the ball game, in the sixth or seventh inning of this year's market year, you can't be throwing money at these companies that have 35% upside potential. I've shifted all of my focus into my Best Stocks Now app at those stocks that have 75-80% or more upside potential. And then, of course, they have to have those other criteria and characteristics that I like, meaning good performance, relative strength, a good stock chart, etc. And the last time I looked on Thursday, there were about 1,400 stocks that met the value criteria. But then a lot of them fall by the wayside when you start looking at the other criteria. So yeah. What can I say? It's a stock picker's market.
Lots of value traps in there.
Would I be buying the FANG index here? No. I would definitely favor SARC over ARC. What do I mean by that? She's in the nosebleed valuation stocks, Kathy Wood, and I think the nosebleed stocks are probably going to be a little bit dicey with the valuation so high on them, and I think, you know, a little bit of SARC here at this point in time is a little bit of hedge. How do you hedge valuation? Well, you hedge valuation by, you know, new stocks buying lower P.E., lowering the overall P.E. ratio of your portfolio, selling down positions that have gone way up this year. That's something that I look at every single day. Do I want to start cutting this? If you've got a stock that's doubled, we have NVIDIA, which I believe is up 150% since we bought it. So obviously it represents an outsized position in our portfolio. But at the same time, do you want to sell your NVIDIA at this point in the AI ball game? So it really comes down to one stock at a time. I always emphasize that. You can't just paint the whole market with the same brush like Goldman Sachs has just done. Say, we're not worried about the market's valuation or stocks. They said stocks valuation, the valuation of stocks. Well, there's 6,000, 5,000 stocks out there. And I'm very concerned about a lot of the stocks, but at the same time, there's still stocks to be bought out there. Now, when we come back, earnings this week, 166 on tap. We'll go over some of the big ones when we come back here. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up 23 now. It's moved into the green. Dow up 163 right now. It continues to break out. And oil making a big move, up $1.22 to $78.29. For me, just in the early going, three stocks stand out to me so far. Google, which is the stock formerly known as, or actually it's the stock formerly known as Google, now it's Alphabet. That's a nice move there, as they are working around the clock. In fact, the founders of Google are in the office right these days.
Yeah, you told me that last week. I was read a story about that. Yeah, talking about some hands on, right?
They do not want AI, you know, falling into the hands of Microsoft and other players. So Google, very good move there. It's one of the cheaper ones. Now, that one still makes sense from a valuation point of view, whereas Apple doesn't. Halliburton, for me, is a very good stock of the day, with oil prices moving up quite a bit here recently. And the third stock of the day for me is Valero Energy, which is a refiner, VLO. The ETF of the day, I own a little bit of this. I thought gasoline was cheap and energy was cheap. I bought a little UGA, which is a gasoline. It measures the gasoline prices are going higher. If you look at UGA, that's an exchange traded fund corresponding to the price of gasoline. So anyways, those are the standouts for me here in the early going.
It seems like, of course, you know, we're getting all these reports, you know, global manufacturing. I think one of the newer, you know, global GDP figures that I've seen for the year is like a growth rate of like 0.2% or so.
Wow.
And so, you know, with that backdrop, at the same time, you know, oil has had one of its, you know, really its best run, you know, definitely in 2023 in the last, you know, couple weeks. So it just could. There seems like some kind of disconnect there. The only thing I can think about is, you know, it just sounds like demand is waning, but probably the real issue over a long period of time is going to be that supply is waning.
Supply seems to be the problem because they're making it harder and harder. They're raising the prices in the U.S. for drilling on federal lands. You've got Holland closing down their biggest, the most productive
biggest gas
oil
field. Biggest gas field in Europe.
Yeah. And then you had Saudi Arabia cutting there, and you've got Russian oil. That's kind of what's propping it up, or keeping a lid on it a little bit, because they're dumping their illegal oil on the market.
Right. Yeah.
Now, this week, earnings from the likes of Microsoft, I just hear all kinds of just people, analysts gushing over Microsoft.
We'll find out tomorrow, won't we?
Yes, we'll find out. And, of course, Alphabet will report.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Those are two major players in this whole AI race, which some are saying, we'll get to that story in a minute, one analyst out there saying this will be a boondoggle for Microsoft's revenue and earnings. We'll go over that. Meta Platforms, which is also a player, the comeback stock of the year. I'm not the only person saying that. I've seen that in the press out there, that they're just gushing over Zuckerberg and how he turned this thing around. It was getting pasted last year as they were lost in the metaverse somewhere.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
They seem to have found their way with AI and different things and advertising. We're going to get earnings from Ford, McDonald's, GE, Coca-Cola, Intel, Comcast, ExxonMobil, And I think we already got Chevron this morning. Yeah, Chevron reported this morning. Chevron's earnings. Hey, that's a good chart on Chevron. Let's add that to the fourth stock of the day. Could it be that the second half of the year, which began 3 weeks ago, the energy stocks, which by nature are low PE. Chevron has a PE ratio of 8. Tesla has a PE ratio of 65. Nvidia has a PE ratio of 145, okay? So there's going to be a natural rotation into energy just because of that. And then if you can throw in rising oil prices, we own several. I mean, we think that that could be a good area here in the second half of this year. But, you know, like I say, I'm not going to sell some of the high flyers that have done so well in the first half of the year. New money. We're talking about new money going in. Stocks are either a buy, a hold, which many of those big tech stocks, I consider them holds here, or a sell if they start to turn south and get too expensive. Okay, so, and we also get today, I think, NXPI, which is not that big of a report. Okay, tomorrow's the big day. Tuesday's the big day, because that's when we get Alphabet, Microsoft, and on Wednesday, Meta.
Wednesday, Meta, and then, of course, Wednesday we get the old Fed decision and the highly rated watched news conference around 2 or 2:30 probably. So.
Yep. And, you know, ServiceNow will report, Valero will report, Union Pacific will report. So this is a big week, very big week. It's going to help determine the future of the market. On Wednesday, Chipotle, Boeing, Mattel. We'll see if it gets a big pop from Barbie. We get GM. On Thursday, Ford. And McDonald's and Intel, AbbVie, Mondelez, First Solar, on Friday, Procter & Gamble, WPC, AstraZeneca. So there you go. There's what we're facing this week. Okay, and then, of course, I mean, the move in the market has broadened out. Bank of America is pointing that out. I've been pointing that out, too, beyond those seven stocks. Those seven stocks, Apple up 54%, Microsoft up 32%, Google up 33%, Amazon up 51%. The big winner this year and our biggest holding, NVIDIA, has exploded. It's tripled this year. It's up 217.9%. Meta's up 142%. And Tesla's up 104. Do not expect returns like that in the second half of the year. Now let's see. Tesla is up a little bit. It kind of took down the NASDAQ last Wednesday. It and one other stock. It was Netflix took it down. Tesla getting a neutral rating from UBS. It's not a cheap stock. And Elon's going to get rid of the little bird on Twitter, which I look at every day as I send out tweets. It's going to be an X,
yeah,
brand
right.
X instead. Yep. India government, and I'm kind of surprised at that. I thought India and China were kind of buddy-buddy, but apparently not. Boyd was wanted to build a plant there to make their cars, and India snubbed. The Mega Boyd proposal to set up a $1 billion plant, which kind of surprises me. Boyd is down a little bit on that. And Apple is starting to line up their iPhone 14. iPhone 14, and they're saying it will be about in line with the 13. So we'll see if there's something there big enough change to really want to go in and exchange your phone and upgrade it. Here's the story I was looking for. Microsoft's generative IA push could cause a revenue tidal wave for the tech giant. Well, we'll see. That's
we'll
that co-pilot
says, right?
News,
yeah,
right?
That's the NVIDIA news.
Can I live without co-pilot? Well, I can't live without Excel. I can't live without Word. I could probably live without, but a lot of other people use the one that,
PowerPoint, right? Yeah,
and movie clips. I use movie clips,
but Excel
a little bit.
For sure. We need that one.
But I don't know about Copilot. I think I can get along without it. I'm going to try really hard. And then Wedbush says Microsoft is going to get a golden 1-2 punch from the cloud. So we'll see. I mean, Microsoft, again, they report on a Tuesday. And as I said, we were expecting, as we began this earnings season, we were expecting a 7%. This is the bottom. Most people are saying this is the bottom of this current earnings trend. Because next year, I mean, we're down to about $218 in earnings expectations for this year, which would be a little bit lower than last year. But next year, the consensus is out around $240. Are we really going to see that kind of a rebound and growth of earnings in 2024 versus this year? I think you got to be just a little bit skeptical of that. But that is the consensus estimate out there right now for next year. And, of course, we update
that.
This
is Bill Henderson. You got to go the way you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Looks like the market doesn't want to make too big of a commitment here with so much coming in this week. Kind of wants to see some of those big earnings. I think Microsoft, Alphabet be very important. I think Meta's earnings will be very important, and some of these consumer stocks like Coca-Cola, et cetera, Procter & Gamble, they'll be very important. And, of course, the Fed, I guess we're kind of in the camp thinking that they'll raise by 25 basis points, but hoping they won't. I guess that's where I sit right now.
Yeah, how is that going to feel to raise when you look at these world PMI numbers? I mean, we're the best of all. You know, we're the best, I guess, of the worst at this point in terms of economic
activity. I was just thinking the same thing. How can they look at Europe, these numbers from Europe this morning, and say to themselves, "Gee, we need to hike our interest rate because the economy's too hot"? Maybe. I mean, that might be why the market's up here today, because the market's starting to say maybe the Fed will stand pat. They'll hold for another quarter.
Yeah, why not let the rest of the economy come to you, right? I mean, that's kind of where we're at. But
in the meantime, it's a definite trend that is in place again today with the low P.E. stocks holding sway over the high P.E. stocks. I look at the Dow. And here's the evidence. Chevron, with a P.E. of 8, of course it reported earnings too, it's up 2.3% today. I would say in the second half of the year, the best performing sector so far has been the energy service stocks, and then the energy producers, and the financials. The financials were just on fire last week. Goldman Sachs is the number two performer, up 2.1%. Johnson & Johnson, a low P.E. stock, which had a good report last week, is up 1.8. J.P. Morgan, a low P.E. stock, and in the financial sectors, up 1.5. ExxonMobil, probably on the coattails of Chevron, and you're up $1.18 on crude oil right now. And then Boeing is up 1.1%. The worst performer in the Dow, I would venture to say that Salesforce has got the highest P.E. of all of the Dow stocks, and it's down 1.1%. The S&P 500, you see that same pattern. The best moving stocks are lower P.E., such as Gap Stores up 3.7, Big Lots up 3.6. Nordstrom's up 3.6. Of course, the consumer discretionary, they usually trade at much lower multiples than tech stocks. Halliburton, which I call one of the four stocks of the day. It's up 3.2% today, and it's a dividend payer, and that brings up another subject. The dividend payers have badly lagged the market this year. I mean, when you compare our growth portfolio versus our dividend and growth portfolio, it's badly lagged so far this year. But we're seeing the left behind being the leaders here so far, and I've seen a massive turnaround in a lot of the dividend-paying stocks. There's an ETF called DLN, which I look to as my proxy for the dividend-paying segment of the market. DLN we own in our best funds now, which is a very small portion of our entire business. That's where some of the smaller tag-along portfolios, we have them in the best funds now. That DLN has looked really good here recently. It's a dividend-paying ETF, so that's a big plus right now with a high P.E. market, looking at lower P.E. stocks and dividend payers, even better yet. And I would also say that small and mid caps, because of that big disparity, that's where you're going to find your 15-16 P.E. ratios, is in the small and mid caps and in the dividend payers and in the energy patch and in some of the financials. If the losers... The lithium stocks have been under fire recently. I don't know why, maybe because of ExxonMobil jumping into the game, and they're going to really make a run with that giant formation that extends from Texas all the way to Arkansas, through Arkansas, all the way to North Carolina of lithium. Maybe the supply is going to be too much lithium. That seems to be the issue, because I'm seeing lithium prices really drop and the lithium stocks under fire. And guess which one is not under fire, which we mentioned earlier, the gas fund. Unleaded gas, UGA, is going up. Lithium is going down. Albemarle going down, which is probably the blue chip of the lithium stocks. And at the NASDAQ, really boring, really a boring day at the NASDAQ. Vodafone, the leader, up 3.4%. Dish, up 2.5%. And then some Chinese stocks, JD, Baidu. The NASDAQ tech stock of the day is definitely Alphabet. It's up 2%. And I would say Lam Research would be the second best one at 2%. The overall winner in the market today, from a percentage point of view, Tupperware. I don't know. I wouldn't go chasing that one, but it's up 65.6. Now, I remember the old days. My mother used to be invited to Tupperware parties, and you couldn't buy it, you know, at Walmart. They kind of had a corner on the market, and it was sold through multi, you know, level different kinds of marketing schemes and whatnot. Now you can just, it's everywhere. It's pretty much disposable, replaceable. But that's your winner of the day. Okay, if you'd like, we've been really busy. We've been talking to people from all over the country, which is a lot of fun. It's enjoyable to hear from folks. And, you know, they're not happy with who's managing their money, or they're trying to do it themselves, and they just kind of throw up their arms and say, you know, I want to get somebody who tries to stay on top of things and tries to keep me in the right areas. We can't make any guarantees, but we work hard at it. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, it all begins with taking a look at your overall picture. That's the planning part of it, financial plans, et cetera. And then going from there and investing in the different categories that fit your, you know, your needs and your risk tolerance. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Last week's newsletter had another featured stock in it. I think it's a good one. We'll see. And it also had our current S&P 500 target price. Go to GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.